ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I hate everyone. Fortunately, I am still drunk. I am not kidding.
Were you drinking while watching the
weekend? This has been a long weekend.
Did you drink while watching the president last night?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh,
I didn't even pause for air. So, let me get this straight, Chris. We almost have a crap deal that everyone hates.
Yes.
What? I don't get it. The head of the Tea Party Nation said this is a victory for liberals.
I don't see...
Spending cuts are a joke.
How it's a victory for liberals at all. Because, you know, not a single revenue generator is in
all
this
I know
deal.
Is my house husband, David Bender, is moving to France. He's like, it's broken. He says it's not the president's fault. It's broken. We can't have nice things anymore. It's broken. Our government is just broken. We've been held hostage by these Tea Party crazies, and
Well, it's only broken for 2 years. In the next election, a lot of these crazies will be gone.
But there's only one man that will know the answer to that. I need to spoon.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
I know you're not an emotional man, Eric, but hold me. I'm scared. aren't you just numb from watching the coverage for however many weeks? I'm numb now. And even this isn't done yet, right? I mean, it might not pass the Senate, might not pass the House.
Yeah, no, I think CNN still has their shot clock up and running, which they're going to be very sad to get rid of.
Yes.
You know, in one hand, I think, for the media, it was a godsend. I mean, it's August, nothing happened, late July.
Yeah.
They're able to hype this relentlessly. There was actually some good reporting to do over the weekend and last week in terms of who's voting on what. So, I mean, they love all that stuff. The problem.
Listen, when you turn on MSNBC and there's not people in prison, you know something important is going on. David Gregory's working.
When they drop their all prison programming on the weekend,
yes.
You know something's up.
Yeah.
But the problem with the press was they never, as happens time and again, as people like you and I hit our heads against the wall, they refuse to call radicalism radicalism, and they refuse to, throughout this process, really refuse to call it what this is, what this hostage-taking radical approach to governing is. And instead it was, both sides can't agree.
It's exactly right, Eric. You're exactly why I wanted to talk to you first this morning, because you're right. It's all about political points. Well, this is a victory for the Tea Party, and they won, aren't they? And it's like, no.
Right.
This is, I don't even, because that's in the end, you go, if the president lost politically, because he actually cares about the country, and us not, not going into financial
right.
catastrophe.
No, the Republicans knew they could take the economy to the brink of disaster and calamity because it would all be reported and characterized as both sides can't agree. And the press just, go back to impeachment and beyond. They just will not use the radical word when talking about, sort of the right-wing nut jobs in the Republican Party. So they can do these incredibly aggressive and dangerous maneuvers,
right.
and know they're not really going to get tagged for it in the press.
Well, and Eric, I think that, the question I had for you, which is now totally gone out of my mind, actually it's doing the backstroke in Chardonnay right now, but hang on a second, I got it, it's back. I think that's the, I was listening to, watching Morning Joe this morning, and it's like, please, hostage takers and terrorists and whatever, but you're right, they really are, and we haven't seen this level of this, in this country, I don't think, have we?
No, not really. The debt ceiling was passed dozens and dozens of times.
Sure.
It was passed many,
under
many,
many
times
Republican.
Under Bush. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had, unfortunately, it had become sort of a routine process. But the radical right decided they were going to make it anything but routine. And again, they were willing to drive the economy into the ditch because they saw what was happening to Obama's poll numbers during this this sort of crisis, and that's all they care about.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to David Bender actually yesterday on the phone. I wonder if you agree with him. I mean, I know obviously a lot of liberals are upset, a lot of, far right is upset, but he said he feels like this isn't the president's fault. The government is broken. I mean, it's just, I don't know how we put it back together again.
It does seem to lurch from crisis to crisis. I mean, this all had the feel of, when Bush was trying to save the economy in September of 2008.
Right.
And then Obama, when he got into office, we had these, emergency, too big to fail votes that went till, early in the morning, and Pelosi gets the vote. I mean, just really does seem to lurch from crisis to crisis.
Right.
This crisis seemed to be much more manufactured than others.
Eric, wanted to get your take on, I think what David's point was, I wondered if you agreed, as he said that, because obviously a lot of people were talking about the 14th Amendment, and a lot of Democrats would have preferred he did that. And, David just said that would have put us in a constitutional crisis that would have been maybe as bad as default. And so, the president, I think, and that's a shame, isn't it, Eric, that by doing the right thing for the United States, as you say, you can have some pundits going, well, the Tea Party won and the president, and you go, this is not a game.
Yeah. I suppose if he did go the 14th Amendment, I mean, this is going to this whole issue is going to occupy the federal government for the rest of this year, that's for sure. And it's hard to see how a lot of other things get done. But I don't know. Maybe if he opted for the 14th Amendment, it basically would have been impeachment too. It would have just been nonstop legal wrangling, courts, hearings and things like that. I don't know. It would have been interesting.
And that's what happens, when you have the, people on the left call the president cave and he needs to stand up and be a man and do the, that's what I mean. It's like sometimes, you have to think through the actual, okay, these are our options. Constitutional crisis, default.
Right.
So believe me, I have a headache from the whole weekend. It's not like anyone's happy, but...
But America should not have been put in that position.
I know.
Holy cow.
Well, Eric, you wrote a piece that, and I often say this, when my dad ran with Goldwater, and it stopped being my dad and Goldwater's party a long time ago, but you wrote a great piece about Peggy Noonan, who used to be, as you say, she disdains incivility. I mean, that was a different era with Reagan. And you've talked about she surrendered to Obama derangement syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people like Brian Williams were hyping her for a Pulitzer Prize in 2008. I mean, she's supposed to be this very serious thinking, serious thinker, and she's above it all and right, and she sort of has this tisk-tisk mentality. Well, last week she wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal and called, the President of the United States a loser. The week before that she called him like a walking migraine and boring and things like that. So, she has sort of succumbed to just sort of the sloppy name calling and not having much to say in terms of policy.
And suggested he shut up, which
We
were at that level where a congressman can scream you lie at the President of the United States, and that's just one news cycle. And
And Peggy Noonan, of course, was part of the sort of the thought police when Bush was in office. And if anyone disrespected the Oval Office, it was patently un-American. But for some reason, she feels very comfortable being very condescending to this president.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Rush Limbaugh.
Obama and the Democrats have inflicted this damage. It's his reputation on the line. It's his confidence we ought to be talking about. This is the kind of story that our buds in the conservative media ought to be publishing, instead of telling us to cave and give away everything that we won in November, that this is the best we can get to avoid being blamed, instead of writing from a position of fear.
Oh.
Wow. I mean, this is the problem. Chris was talking about, Eric, there's going to be a lot of these Tea Party people that don't vote for this, right? Because they think it doesn't go far enough, right?
I guess. It's possible. It would be kind of astonishing, again, if you do listen and read the liberal commentary. I mean, they certainly think the White House gave it away. But I guess, Boehner is not dealing with rational people, I don't think. And when Rush Limbaugh is the public face of the Tea Party, we can confirm, he's not dealing
right.
With
I mean, when John
people.
Boehner runs it by Limbaugh and won't return the president's call, we're just in a different world, Eric. I don't recognize,
We are. We are being run by AM radio.
Yeah. Oh, God. God help us all. Tammy Bruce on Fox Business.
As long as Barack Obama's president, who seems to be a saboteur in this dynamic, nothing's going to get done.
Oh, boy.
Wow. I Here's the thing, Eric. I hate to say that they maybe do succeed into some degree. Yeah. Everyone just hates everyone now. It's just people look at Washington, even me, you know, people like us that cover it. We just
go, ugh. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that is the danger in all of this. And Republicans knew what they had in terms of a press story. It was a complicated story, and they knew the press was going to describe it as both sides are to the blame. And I guarantee you that's how 90% of Americans view it. So I think Republicans realize, you know, they could sort of get away with it. And if they pushed this, odds are the president would take the blame. And that's why they were willing to go to the brink, I think.
Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips, he calls this deal a complete victory for liberals and the spending cuts are a joke. Here he is on Fox Business.
John Boehner is an individual who seems to lack both courage and conviction. Uh-oh. And those are two core values that we need at this time. We need someone who has got the vision to understand we've got to do something about this debt and we've got to do it now before America ends up like Greece in an economic death spiral. And they've got to also have the courage to be willing to fight. You know, it seems like in Washington, the only guy less willing to fight than Barack Obama is John Boehner.
This is what's happened, Eric, right? Anybody with any sense of reason or decency or compromise is, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, what's going to happen to our politics?
Yeah, it's a good question. And like I said, you know, we lurch from crisis to crisis because, you know, it's a cliche, but I think the White House feels like they don't have anyone to bargain with on the other side. There is no one on the same page in terms of being honest. But it's also interesting, you know, the Tea Party. There was a rally last week, of course, in D.C. For, you know, spending cuts. And you know, once again, the press outnumbered the people who showed up.
Yeah.
I think it was 4 dozen people.
Right.
Well, quickly before we got a break here, but you know, the thing that, you know, we hear over and over again, how did these two things get linked? How did, you know, blah, blah, blah. The people that are going to criticize the president or the Democrats. What, I mean, the problem, Eric, is because, you know, they can do it. That's why, you know what I mean? When you say, why do terrorists do it? It's because they can, right? I mean, yes, it should never have been linked. They've never been linked before, you know, these kind of negotiations. I was saying it's like, you know, making decisions on redecorating while the house is on fire. But, you know, I mean, the problem is there's nothing the president could do about that, is there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, people would argue that there were options he could have taken, and they need to have better negotiators over there. But your other point is key. They do it because they can, because they can get away with it time and time again. And I don't mean to blame, you know, I don't mean to suggest this is all the press's fault. It's not. But it plays a key role in setting the narrative and refusing to call radicalism for what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eric Boulder remains in the sidecar. We continue more Right Wing World 19 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. Okay, Eric Boulert rejoins us because it's just a sad, scary world this morning, and I need him. I was looking at, Eric, did you see this story in Wisconsin? You know, the recall offices were destroyed by fire. I'm going, are the bad guys just winning? I mean, it's, you know, you look at this debt crisis and like, as you say, what the Tea Party has done.
Yeah, and, you know, and if you look at, I mean, this is supposed to be, well, 2010 was such a big election, so this reflects that. But, I mean, you know, look at where Republicans won and Democrats control two-thirds of the House. Can you imagine if Republicans were in power and Democrats were somehow able to produce such a massive win on their behalf with just holding the House?
Yeah.
It's sort of unthinkable. But, you know, this goes back to a much larger issue of the left and the right play by different sets of rules.
Yep.
And we find, whether it's the Florida recount or the run-up to the Iraq War, over and over again, if you don't really play by any rules, you can win a lot of contests.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the only thing that I can hope this morning, Eric, is what you were just alluding to, is that in the next election, I mean, if you look at the polls, I mean, largely, you know, 70-something, whatever, depending on the poll, right, agree with the president's plan for this. And, you know, want the, you know, the rich to pay their fair share, want, you know, Social Security and Medicare not to be touched, yada, yada, right down the line. You have to hope that they throw these Tea Party clowns out.
Well, I think in Wisconsin there's a good chance of that. Elsewhere, right. We'll see. I just don't know. I haven't seen any polling that suggests, you know, that the freshman class is in real trouble. Again, because, you know, you go, if you look at the districts and how they're drawn these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
They clearly have the upper hand on this deal over the weekend. And, you know, the liberal commentators and Twitter and blogosphere, people are very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Once again.
Yeah, well, that's how you know it's Washington Today, when the left and the right hate it. We just... All right. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business.
The politicization of Standard & Poor's and Moody's, but in particular Moody's on this issue, talking about a downgrade in the midst of the first responsible action since 1999 on the budget.
Oh.
I mean, it's breathtaking in its absurdity, its partisanship. Mm. And their retreat from that position today is precisely what I've been predicting on this broadcast for a month now.
Also mentioning
it's the
that
Moody's
we,
conspiracy,
yes,
that they're in on the, yeah.
Mentioning that we might go into default is a bad thing, apparently.
Well, it's interesting. That was probably late last week when it didn't look good for their side, and so they started stitching together their conspiracy theories. Because this is what the right does. They don't play by the rules, and when they do lose, it's always because some vast conspiracy. So, right, Dobbs, and he was not alone, suggesting that, you know, these financial institutions were in on this liberal conspiracy. So that was interesting. It was insightful because that was going to be their backup. It was all sort of a vast conspiracy, and that's the only reason, you know, they didn't prevail.
Yep. Eric Bolling on the five.
When the Boehner plan was supposedly going to be voted on yesterday, and then they tabled it. Remember that last night?
Yeah, because the
Tea Party
wouldn't
go up. This is very important. This morning we woke up. They were treasury buying. They were buying our treasuries, which means interest rates were going down. They didn't care about the debt talk. There's nothing to do with this debt talk that's driving the economy into the ground. It's Obamanomics.
God. Wow. I mean, you're right. It didn't matter how this actually went. It was going to be, you know, Obama's fault, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Bolling is supposed to be he's supposed to be a business expert.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from the Business Channel, and I don't know, to listen to him talk about the economy is kind of goofy.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Eric, we're running. Can I hold you just for a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, God bless you. it's a special day, and we're going to finish up Right Wing World.
Yeah.
Because Grover Norquist, who nobody elected, is coming up in our last Right Wing World, and then we will talk a little more with Eric. Eric Bollard about this debt crisis. And
you were
going to
call
folks...
him Eric Bolling, weren't you?
Oh, I would never do that.
No? Okay.
No, it's a way different thing. And a lot of folks, obviously, on the phones want to talk about all this. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she is so amazing, I have to listen. Are you sure that's the type of person you want as your life coach? She just seems a little off.
Especially this morning.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Don't let anyone tell you drinking doesn't help. It does. It really does. Okay. Just kidding, kids.
You have no idea what you're saying this morning.
No, I'm very tired. And that's why Eric Bollard is here spooning with me.
Oh.
All right. Eric, we finish up Right Wing World with Grover Norquist, who I don't know who elected him and why he's in charge. Do you?
No, but he's been elected for life, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I like, whose article was it about, let's all sign a pledge that we won't vote for anyone that ever signs a stupid pledge.
Yeah, he's the king of pledges, isn't
yeah.
he? Hey, okay.
Yeah, all right. Grover Norquist.
Taxes, spending. There's been a wave of regulations, both that have arrived and that are threatened. I think the biggest thing holding back economic growth now is the concern that next week you wake up and the EPA or some other department of government has decided not just what kind of light bulbs you have, but how big your car can be.
Wow. I mean, seriously, Eric, if you look at the profits of all of our major companies, are you kidding me that somebody's being overregulated?
Also, first of all, the light bulb regulations came from President Bush.
Yes.
Well, and it's amazing, like someone like Grover Norquist, who was so influential during the Bush years and made sure those tax cuts went through and was a cheerleader for those tax cuts. I mean, it's so obvious the extraordinary damage those tax cuts did to our economy. And so who does the press turn to as an expert on tax policy and the economy? Grover Norquist, who helped sponsor massive tax cuts, which drove the economy into the ditch.
Yeah.
So they never pay any penalty. So they take these very radical policy positions. They help oversee them when the Republicans in office. The policies then do extraordinary damage, whether it's the Iraq War, the economy, and 4 years later they're all on TV presented as experts in their field. I mean, it's just this never-ending loop.
Eric, we touched on this, but you know, before you go, I wanted to get your take on the whole, because obviously on the liberal side people are going, we didn't get anything except, you know, extending it, obviously, so we don't have to do this again in 6 months, but they say it's all cuts. But, you know, what I have heard, you know, several people that are trying to, you know, calm everybody is about the Bush tax cuts, that they are going to expire. So, I mean, is the president smart in that sense, that we are going to get revenue at some point? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert enough to know. But, I mean, I think the people on the left who are nervous saying that the Bush tax cuts will expire realize they were supposed to expire. And the last time we went through one of these, quote, negotiations, you know, from the feeling of the left and the left commentary, you know, the White House gave that away. So I think their feeling is they're just going to give it away again. They haven't seen anything. They haven't seen any instances where the White House has been able to stare down this Republican noise machine. Yes, it's possible, but the fear is we're just going to see the same thing over and over again.
But you're right, it is, because it's every time it's negotiating with a crazy person. So they don't care if they shut the government down. They don't care if they default the United States of America. I mean, it really is. You know, there used to be, at least, I sound really old, a common good. There used to be, but we're all Americans. So we're not going to, you know, gamble with, you know, something that affects all of us.
No, I mean, a lot of this does remind me of impeachment, because there was a feeling like, you know, the crazy right-wing members of the House, they won't really go through with this, right? Because, the adults in the Republican Party will step in and they'll stop that nonsense. Well, none of them ever did. I mean, they went through the trial, they had the impeachment. And there was the same sort of momentum to this, I think. People are feeling like, well, they won't really do this. You know, the grown-ups will step in. Well, there are no grown-ups anymore. I mean, the Republican Party and the conservative movement is run by Fox News. It's run by AM talk radio. And the serious people who Democrats used to either meet in front of or behind the scenes, those people are gone. And people like John Boehner have to answer to Rush Limbaugh now.
Well, yeah, and I think it's, you know, I'll screw up the movie reference, but it is that game of chicken where you suddenly realize the other driver, you're like, oh, no, he's crazy and he has a death wish. He really does. Oh, no, we're not playing a game. He's really, you know, so that's, you're right. How do you even negotiate like that? I mean, because they're not really even there to negotiate.
No, that's right. They were there to take this to the brink, and it seemed quite. They were either very convincing in their act, or they were quite willing to have the government default and have extraordinary damage done to the party, to the economy. And I can't think of any instance in the last 10 or 20 or 30 years where Democrats made a stand and said we are basically willing to do extraordinary damage to this country. Unless our minority vote is counted.
And Eric, you know, obviously what people are saying is this still may not be done, right? I mean, Boehner may still have trouble getting this through the House, right?
Yeah, you know, he had trouble late last week. I think the feeling is he can get it done. It would be. I mean, you talk about the party that can't say yes. I mean, if he can't get the votes for this.
God.
It would be pretty extraordinary, since the feeling is...
We might be going to the 14th Amendment anyway. All right, Eric, thanks for staying extra this morning. I really appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I need him all morning. I need him to hold me. I want to do the whole show on Eric Bowler's lap.
Well, don't you want to do the show on Rude Pundit's lap next hour?
Yes. We pushed him back so that I could. I just one long lap dance this morning.
Rude Pundit might not be as cuddly, though, with
no,
this whole thing.
No, I don't think so. No. Steve, and that's why I needed to ease in with Eric Bowler this morning. Steve in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to take a little issue with something you said early in the show about you made a statement. You said, I just don't know what the president could do. His hands were tied. And really, I think the issue
I was,
is.
Well, I was saying, I actually was saying what David Bender said. To me, that was his take yesterday. He said, I don't, you know, this isn't the president's fault. This government is broken. I mean, you know.
Well, let me take issue with David Bender then.
Okay.
I think that the only reason that the teabaggers can be as obstinate and stupid and crazy to the right that they are is because the president continuously starts negotiating from the center. And we liberals need someone who's on the left, who's going to hold the ground and say, no, we're not going to let you go that far. But if they, you know, the phrase is they keep moving the goalposts. Well, that's because the president keeps going to the 50-yard line or inside of that.
I guess,
and
Steve, but you know, that, but, okay, but my point is, you know,
as
someone that also came from a Republican family, you know, back in the 60s, whatever, I'm just saying this Republican Party has gone so far to the right. I agree with you. It's like we're all getting dragged. And but what I'm saying is, so say the president governed as a complete flaming liberal, like maybe you and I would want him to. How is that going to help? How are we going to get anything done when you've got.
Well, because they know. The right knows that the liberals, the Democrats, I don't even want to call them liberals anymore because we don't have a liberal Democratic Party, but they know that they will always move to the center. So they just continually take it for
in the best interest of the country.
No, I mean, Steve, I just did this town hall panel with Dennis Kucinich in Seattle, and don't you agree, like, everything that man says is right?
And
you go, he has no chance of being president in this country. It's pathetic.
I'm a constituent of Keith Ellison, and really it's only Keith Ellison, maybe Raul Grijalva, and occasionally Jan Schakowsky. You have her on, and that's the Progressive Caucus, which is a significant caucus in the House of Representatives. It's a large majority, and yet the people's budget that has been, you know, put forward by them never gets any airplay, and the president hasn't said one word about it. He doesn't say,
well, by the way,
Jan
Schakowsky and Nancy Pelosi, how awesome were they? Those were at least the highlights of the weekend, them on the House floor, right? Nancy Pelosi, I will not yield to you. I will not. At least we're getting some fireworks.
But you know,
Jan Schakowsky was awesome.
I do see Steve's point. Maybe if the president had started maybe a little further to the left, the center might have moved a little further to the left.
Really? You think so with these people?
Yep.
Here's the only good news is Michelle Bachmann says she'll only serve one term if she's elected president.
Okay.
So that's good.
Well, that's a start.
A little ray of hope. My morning. Okay. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. How about your rockin' congresswoman, Steph? Hello.
Hi. Yeah.
Your rockin' congresswoman, Jason? This is fragging. Stop fragging me.
Yeah, I love her, and she's the only reason I stopped taking Pepto-Bismol since last night listening. Do these people understand? All the news shows have been praising the Tea Party, saying, they got together, they did what they were supposed to do, every American should be like them, but these people, if they've got this much power, how much more do you think they're going to try to get next year and the year after that and the year after that? They're dangerous.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree, you know, Steph, with that, about saying, you know, once you've done this, it's like, you've wet their bloodlust. You know, it's the whole negotiating with terrorist thing. They're going to do it again. And they've already done it. But, you know, it's so funny how we've already forgotten about the almost government shutdown. You know, like, right? Oh, I don't know what you're doing. You dropped your musical phone in the toilet. Anyway, my point is, what did Eric Bowler just say, Chris? It's we're lurching from crisis to crisis.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
That's no way to govern.
I'm just numb.
That is no way to govern. But the Republicans have found that they can get their way by lurching from crisis to crisis.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. All right. Let's do one more before the break. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Patrice.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I can't support this president anymore. I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay, what would he? What should he have done differently? How would you have dealt with the Tea Party?
Well, you know what? It's just he should have. If he had done in the first place, if he stayed on the left
and negotiated from the left, and like that, I guess one of the books said, move to the center, things would have moved to the center. It would have been a little better. But before he just basically took all the good stuff out and just put, you know.
Patrice, how do you, when you start from that they're going to take the full faith and credit of the United States hostage, how do you, what difference does it make?
Well, Stephanie, here's my thing. I do volunteer work in a nursing home or a retirement home.
Right.
And about 2 weeks ago, one of the elders basically went into cardiac arrest because she was so nervous and scared that her Social Security and Medicare benefits was going to get cut.
Yep.
And we had to convince her that nothing is engraved in stone as of yet. A lot of the elders in that retirement home were basically saying, how could he do this to us? We put him in office to protect us. We put the Democrats there to protect us. And if he just
The president? I mean, that's the problem, is that, you know, it clearly wasn't the president. It clearly was the Tea Party that was driving this whole thing. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's a shame when the president has to suffer politically because he wants to do the right thing for the country and, you know, save the people in your retirement community, right?
Yeah, but he's doing it on the, but it's, this is on the backs of poor people, working poor, middle class, and elders, Stephanie. I can't go along with it.
Medicare and Social Security are not being touched in this as far as I know. Jonathan Alter was just saying that last night.
That could change, though, with this debt commission thing.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. But again, thanks, Patrice. That's to be determined.
Yeah, it is. A lot of things are to be determined before now and the end of the year.
Particularly whether I'm going to open the red or the white right now. 46 minutes after.
Did you bring some for me?
Yes.
Really?
I brought enough for the entire class.
Usually, you hoard it all to yourself. I know you.
We have wine. We have Ustream. People need to see me in the wine hat all morning. With a hose in my mouth. 46.
Do you think the guy who owns the show would spring for, like, a wine vending machine?
Oh, awesome. I'm sure he would. Ooh. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
That was the sound you were making when you first walked in this morning.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. I need my house husband. It's David Benda. I'm returning to Benda without a jingle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, do I? No, we don't need the jingle.
No, we don't need the jingle. We got to get right into it.
No jingle today. This is not a jingle day. Comment allez-vous, mon chéri?
Oh, boy.
David's moving to France. It's broken. Our government is irreparably broken. Now we can't have nice government things.
Who broke it?
The people who decided to take a sledgehammer to the Constitution, the people who say they're defending it, are the ones who have destroyed it. This is tyranny of the minority. The Tea Party is not the majority, even in its own caucus, but they are determining what the Speaker does, they are determining what the Majority Leader of the Senate does, and, in effect, they're determining what the country does.
They are
not the majority.
How did they get all of this power, even though they're the majority? Minority?
Because they don't care about the country.
Right, I know. But
and the answer is this. You heard what Eric Bollard said. If you are prepared to not play by the rules, you can win any game.
Yeah.
If you want to cheat at solitaire, you could win every time.
Yeah.
Rachel Maddow makes the point that there's a difference between politics and policy. These people care nothing for policy. They're not interested in governing. They actually hate government.
Yeah.
And that's the irony. The people who hate government the most are in charge of it. So if you are in charge of it, Grover Norquist, the unelected guy whose goal is to kill government, drown it in the bathtub, shrink it and drown it, that's what we are seeing play out. So, of course, you can win if you don't want what Obama wants.
You're like, let's see, while I decide if you're bluffing in poker, I'm going to punch you in the eye. look, I win. Now you dropped your cards, and I won.
And it's so frustrating to hear these people, and I share their pain. I feel their pain that, you know, they're looking at the president going, that woman who's calling saying, I can't vote for this president anymore. He's allowed people in senior homes to think that they're going to lose their Social Security. He's not protecting them. He's the only one protecting them.
Yeah.
He's it. He's the line in the sand between these people who would actually bring down Social Security, bring down Medicare, bring down Medicaid completely, and they're still trying.
The problem is you and I and Stephanie know that because we follow this day in and day out.
Right.
However, the people who don't follow politics very closely and are just waking up to this are thinking that nobody in government cares about them.
That's
nobody
right.
is on their side.
That's exactly right, which is why the terrorists win.
Yeah.
Because what happens is if people are not paying attention, and that's what happened last November, Chris, is people weren't paying attention, they didn't turn out. The Tea Party won all of those races, flipped the House of Representatives. It's going to happen again, I hate to tell you, next year with the Senate. 2-1 Democrats are vulnerable next year, in terms of the numbers, the luck of the draw. 23 Democratic seats up, 11 Republican seats.
Right.
That's what's going to happen, and that's going to keep the paralysis, even if through some miracle these Tea Party members are tossed out on their asses, as they should be. What's going to happen is that the Republicans will have the Senate and will be in gridlock, even should the president be reelected. The system is broken. And so the only question is, what do you do? Do you tell the American people, does the president go on television and say, look, this system is broken. And this may be the one area where I do agree with critics of the president. He has not been willing to say that. It's the equivalent of the Jimmy Carter malaise speech. You know, it's a bad situation. Look what happened to Jimmy Carter. He told the truth, and they said, no, it's morning in America. Let's get Ronald Reagan.
If he's going to be honest, he just comes out and says, you know what? This country sucks. I gotta tell you something, my friends. America in its present state deeply sucks. That's all I'm saying. Good night.
It's not a great motivational speech.
Exactly. It's not morning in America. We've fallen down the mine shaft in America. And yes, things always look the darkest before it goes totally black.
Completely black. So
he should use my line, David Bender. He should use my line.
The only option I have this morning is that you and I can learn French together.
There you go. He should use my line that whenever, you know, God shuts a window somewhere else, he shuts a door and you're screwed. We are screwed, America. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Syracuse.
Good night.
So I don't know. I've been watching with you and all of us, and it is true. The one thing we don't know is whether the Tea Party can't take yes for an answer. You heard Judson Phillips. It's still possible they may say this deal doesn't go far enough, and they may revolt at the end of it.
Right.
Maybe that is the end game, and maybe the whole question.
Yeah, so Toon says the driving Republicans that actually want us to go over the cliff will be like, there's still another chance for us to drive the country completely off the cliff.
And maybe we need to hit, you know what they say, when you are in desperate situations and the behavior is completely out of control, maybe the patient or the person has to hit bottom. And maybe this government and this country, in order, Chris, to your point, in order for people to actually wake up and pay attention.
This is no morning to use AA slogans with me, my friend. I'm telling you what. You need
morning.
To wait till I sober up to even have that conversation with me.
The first step is admitting you have a problem and you're powerless over the country. Look, I think it may well be that the president has to be willing to do what these crazy Tea Party people have done, to say, and the analogy is going to war. When you send people to war for the good of the country, theoretically, when it's that kind of war, you're trying to win a larger battle. You're trying to save the country. People get hurt in those battles, and the president has, with unemployment insurance people at risk.
I couldn't believe that we're watching people on TV discuss the, you know, the troops not getting paid, speaking of which. You know, I mean, it's just, where are we? All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stop looking at me like that. Just because I'm not here seconds before we go on the air, don't panic.
Well, everybody,
everybody's so panicky these days.
Everybody on Ustream saw that you weren't here, and they saw the panicked look growing in my eyes.
Hello, everybody. Mama's back. Debt crisis has us all a little raw. All a little rubbed raw.
Or has us all a little drunk.
Yeah, I thought this was me this weekend. Stephanie Miller, 48, charged with prostitution. What the hell did I do this weekend?
Well, you're not 48 anymore. We know
Dorchester,
that.
That's not me. I'm almost certain that wasn't me.
Dorchester.
But your Google alert went off, didn't it?
It certainly did.
You know what? I might have been a little concerned about the economy.
And so you flew to Dorchester.
Apparently I did.
A prostitute.
Apparently I did. Guess where I'm going this weekend? Santa Fe, New Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. Sexy Liberal Show. John Fugelsang, Aisha, Tyler, and I coming to the Lenzing Theater in Santa Fe. There might be some teensy few tickets left for the first show, but we're very, very excited.
The first show being an afternoon show.
Yes!
Yes. Because Mama needs her.
Mama's old.
Her sleep.
All right.
You need to find a blue plate special somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a 3 o'clock and a 7 o'clock show. We will see you in Santa Fe. Very, very excited. And then August 20th in Detroit. All right. So it was a very, very harrowing weekend. And we're not even there yet, are we? Exactly?
No. Absolutely nothing is guaranteed. I mean, the Congress could shut this whole thing down.
Yeah, all right. We can still shut this bastard down. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Can you tell I've lost the will to live? Just I'm numb. Numb, numb, numb.
Numb, 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 numb.
I need some rudeness.
It's Lee Pabba, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
My throat's a little raw from yelling at the TV all week.
Yeah,
me too. You know what? Here's the one thing, too. I have Chardonnay spilled all over my rude pundit that I normally read, so I didn't get to read any of it because I've been sorry about that. I'm sure it's...
A couple of things have changed since
I
think your last
problem.
Posting.
You know what? I'm just throwing this out because what the hell? So what, Rude, were you watching it as much as I was? It really at some point gets emotionally... Just unsettling,
sure.
Right?
I mean, I thought I was going to break my TV last night when I heard the president say that this was a crisis that Washington imposed on the rest of America. So I wanted to say, no, it wasn't Washington. It was this group in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to call out the bad guys for being bad guys. If somebody is the terrorist, you call them the terrorist.
Yeah. That's the problem, right? Is that, he did say, what did he say earlier in the weekend? That, you know, obviously they wasted precious time with this Boehner thing. I mean, I think you're right. It was cleansing even just to see Nancy Pelosi go off, you know, and just say, for them to, you know, ever have implied that this was any kind of bipartisan agreement, it really was just a time waster.
And the only thing that I've been reading things this morning, reacting, that there's a lot of pissed off right wingers right now.
Yeah, everybody hates this.
Right.
The Tea Party said this is a total victory for liberals. I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eric Erickson, who, you know, we all love just because of his name.
Yes.
Because he sounds like a Viking and looks like somebody who would be pillaged by Vikings. you know, he said on Red State that this is that Republicans are playing the fool to go along with this.
Yeah.
And that taxes will go up. I mean, that's the thing on both sides. Everybody's saying that, don't worry about it. The Bush tax cuts will expire.
Right.
Until they extend them again.
Right. Well, exactly. And, you know, that's the thing. We were promised that they were going to expire before. And even Obama said in his fact sheet the White House released last night that that if the super Congress doesn't come up with anything, that he will veto it and let the tax cuts on the higher end, higher income people expire. And I thought, when did we decouple those? We didn't, and that was the problem last time.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Chris, you were saying earlier, mm-hmm. it's almost like those sports deals, like with a something to be named later. It seems like there's a lot of things
yeah.
to be
well, the,
named
this debt
later.
Ceiling commission or whatever that's going to be appointed,
yeah. Yeah.
they're going to have a lot of free reign in this whole thing, and I'm really nervous as to what they're going to come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What they're going to come up with is something that ties at 6-6 and automatically triggers some kind of the cuts that are there.
Yeah.
And then the Bush tax cuts expire, and there'll be a rebellion against that. We hope they're
yeah.
allowed to expire
well,
this time.
Rude. I mean, here's the thing. Who was it? David Bender was just saying, you can win any game when you don't play by any rules. I was looking at this story because you and I have talked about this a lot. The fire destroys the We Are Wisconsin PAC offices in La Crosse. Gee, right before the recall.
Coincidence.
Yeah, I guess, and that's not at all suspicious. Fire officials continuing to investigate a Saturday blaze that destroyed the regional offices of We Are Wisconsin, a union political action committee that has pumped millions of dollars into supporting Democratic candidates in the upcoming recall elections. And I love this. The Tribune reports the cause of the fire remains unknown. Well, I know the cause!
Yeah. It's sort of like when that...
Right-wing sore losers. It's like literally it's 10 days before the recall. Yeah, I'm sure it was just a suspicious fire.
Oh, sure. It's like the news of the world whistleblower being found dead.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We don't think there's anything suspicious about
that.
No.
Stuff happens.
I heard what David Bender said about, or you said, bluffing somebody in poker and they punch you in the eye.
And
I thought, well, yeah, but the problem is that we don't then punch back and make it into a fist fight instead of just saying, okay, can we just get back to the cards? It's so disheartening, and maybe that's what needs to be expressed most on the left today, is it's so disheartening that every time it seems that we're in some battle, we're always told, well, okay, we're going to accept this so that we live to fight another day.
Yeah.
You know, we heard that about the public option. We heard that about the Bush tax cuts. We heard that about the last budget battle. And now we're told this again about this one. We're going to fight another day.
Rude, and again, I know, I heard, by the way, I heard the last segment, Jim, on Friday, when he said, well, there's a reason you get called an Obama apologist every day. The minute I leave, Jim talks smack behind my back.
I might have actually said that. Or something.
I have an article by Paul Krugman called The President Surrenders. I'd like to read from later.
Okay, but here is my question. Like I say, like I was saying, or David Bender was saying, I'm not saying we're not all pissed this morning, we're not all disheartened, but it's just, what do you do when the other side... I mean, it's fine to say all that stuff, and the manly thing would be the 14th Amendment, and that's what he should, and it's like, you go, okay, but if you really care about this country and go, okay, constitutional crisis, default, I'm not sure,
Well, the thing is that we wouldn't have defaulted if he'd have invoked the 14th Amendment.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But then we'd be in a constitutional crisis. I'm just saying,
which we're kind of in whether we want to be or not. We're right now in a balance of powers kind of crisis. And in that a minority in the Congress has taken over. And the other thing is, why does he keep taking these hard positions off the table? Why does he keep saying, okay, I'm not even going to go for a national health care system? That's off the table. Nancy Pelosi going back saying, we're going to take impeachment off the table.
Rudis. I just feel like, these people are crazy people, and I don't know that it matters, is what I'm saying. I don't know if you go, if you would have started from a single payer, I just think, unfortunately, with people that don't care about the country, you can't, it's like, you can go, then they would have done this because they're reasonable.
But we're giving them too much power is the point.
Right. And when he took the 14th Amendment possibility off the table, well, that strengthened their hand
yep.
right off the bat. And so why not say, no, all options are on the table. Let's see what we come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then at least there is for the reasonable, quote unquote, Republicans that are still there, they see that there is going to be this advancement of presidential power that could really undermine, certainly it would have undermined Boehner, and it could have undermined the entire position if the public backed Obama on his use of the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and the punchline is we may still get to the 14th Amendment.
Right, exactly. Yes. Nancy Pelosi has yes. signed on, and, yeah. and you know, and as you said, those Tea Party people. I mean, you know, they're like crapping on their hands and covering themselves in their own feces and
awesome.
Screaming at the moon
awesome.
As they try to figure out what they're going to do. You know, they're,
awesome.
They're
how did the moon get there?
They're casting their, you know, they're getting chicken bones out and casting them in churches,
yeah.
saying, you know,
well, you know
Mother
like,
Mary, please come down and tell me, you know, what Jesus told you while suckling at your nipple.
Yes, rude pundit.
Oh, my God. Now, yeah, Chris was saying earlier, Joe Walsh might not vote for this because, you know, he's such a fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His own family, too.
He's very conservative with his children, for instance, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Every time we hear about the way in which these supposedly upstanding Republicans are actually scum, you just wait for the one that says, yeah, okay, I was a murderer and child rapist, okay, but that's in the past. Now it's the present, and I'm not going to vote to raise the debt ceiling.
All crime is in the past.
I got to tell you, I think I told this story already, but my best friend is a psychologist in a maximum security prison in Northern California, and she was talking about having a conversation recently with one of the inmates, and he was like, my wife just won't talk to you. He seems very reasonable. Like, he seems like a normal... He's like, you know, my wife won't talk to me anymore. I don't really know why. I mean, I killed her family, but I don't really... She doesn't even talk to me. It's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. You're talking to someone that seems reasonable, but, you know...
And I could tell you, I just got back from one of my walkabouts in Louisiana, and there is not a single conservative that I spoke to down there that didn't think that there should be revenue increases in any kind of package. I mean, people who are Tea Party supporters, people who are diehard Republicans, every single one of them said, I don't understand why we can't do
Right, maybe I'm being happy clappy, but that's what I still hold out hope that we're going to throw these Tea Party clowns out. That we still have elections, I think.
But we still have to go. But unfortunately, we're not Wisconsin. We can't just recall them all and take them down.
Right.
We still have to go through this bipartisan super Congress, which I love that. I love the super Congress.
Yeah, aren't they super?
What are the Earth spinning in the opposite direction? We can go back in time and change everything.
Awesome. That's a good plan.
That would be great. That would be great. And then you could face off against the bad Congress or something.
Your rudeness. See you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. 18 minutes after the hour. All right. Jim's going to read some things that will make us all feel worse when we come back. Well, 18 minutes after the hour.
There are things that need to be said, I think.
And you know what? I don't even care. I'm just numb. I don't even care. Lost the will to live. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Teabagger morons. Won't take yes for an answer.
Crazy bastards. That's why we can't. That's why we can't have nice things. Yes, Jim, would you like to read from...
This is an article from yesterday's New York Times
Paul Krugman.
Mm-hmm. The President Surrenders. A deal to raise the federal debt ceiling is in the works. If it goes through, many commentators will declare that disaster was avoided, but they will be wrong. For the deal itself, given the available information, is a disaster, and not just for President Obama and his party. It will damage an already depressed economy. It will probably make America's long-run deficit problem worse, not better. And most important, by demonstrating that raw extortion works and carries no political cost, it will take America a long way down the road to banana republic status. It talks about how he's tough. It's just getting started.
Oh, sorry. Let me give you some...
We have a deeply depressed economy. We will almost certainly continue to have a depressed economy through next year. And probably
Wait, can I ask a question? Am I allowed to ask a question? How is it going to make the deficit worse? He doesn't say. Okay, keep going.
Well, I could read the whole article.
Why not? I didn't prepare anything. I was drunk.
Indeed,
go ahead.
Slashing spending while the economy is depressed won't help the budget situation much and might well make it worse. And then the reported terms of the deal, which amount to an abject surrender on the part of the president. First, there'll be big spending cuts with no increase in revenue. Then a panel will make recommendations for further deficit reduction. And if these recommendations aren't accepted, there will be more spending cuts. Republicans will supposedly have an incentive to make concessions next time around, but the GOP has demonstrated its willingness to risk financial collapse unless it gets everything its most extreme members want. In fact, Republicans will surely be emboldened by the way Mr. Obama keeps folding in the face of their threats. He surrendered last December, extending all the Bush tax cuts. He surrendered in the spring when they threatened to shut down the government, and now he's surrendered on a grand scale to raw extortion over the debt ceiling. Maybe it's just me, but I see a pattern here. Did the president have an alternative this time around? Yes. First of all, he could and should have demanded an increase in the debt ceiling back in December. When asked why he didn't, he replied he was sure Republicans would act responsibly.
Stop.
Great call.
All right. I got it.
Well, it goes on, but yeah, but it is a huge disaster, and
But the problem, Jim, is you go. It's easy for someone to go, oh, he should have done that, as if they would have. There would have been a different outcome.
Well,
then,
I mean, at least he would stand for something. If we separated the debt ceiling from all the other
the
nonsense,
the Tea Party won by standing for their principles.
Right.
How awful they are! Why can't we stand for our principles on our side?
Again, Obama wants to govern from the middle. There is no more middle. Every time you go to the middle,
the middle has been shoved so far to the right that Barry Goldwater is in the middle now. His views are in the middle.
Barry Goldwater is a flaming liberal. Are you kidding? You look at this, like, I know the right wing doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks, but how does that make you feel as an American? World reacts to debt ceiling debacle. Irresponsible. Worst kind of absurd theatrics. Uh-huh. U.S. politicians a laughingstock. Criticism of Congress starting to come from beyond our borders, from France to Germany to China to India. Countries around the world are angry that American politicians play with the possibility of a U.S. default like a yo-yo with little regard for the international economic system that depends on American solvency. Well, and again, not American politicians, the Republicans. You got to call a spade a spade.
But you know what? People who don't watch this very carefully, or just watch it from the sidelines, are saying that it is American politicians that are screwing this up.
Morgan Stanley Asia said senior Chinese officials told him the debt ceiling debate in the U.S. is truly shocking. We understand the politics, said a Chinese official, but your government's continued recklessness is astonishing.
Which is why Obama should have invoked the 14th Amendment and taken his lumps for it after the fact. At least it's doing something.
Newspapers around the world are voicing discontent. The German newspaper said there are a few signs of self-doubt or self-awareness in the U.S. The Tea Party movement sees the other side as their enemy. Negotiations with the Democrats, whether it's about appointing a judge or the insolvency of the United States, are only successful if the enemy is defeated. Compromise, they feel, is a sign of weakness and cowardice. That's what I mean. You can't. Well, we're not even negotiating together for America anymore. It literally.
Well, Krugman talks about that, too. It said, at the very least, Mr. Obama could have used the possibility of a legal end run to strengthen his bargaining position. Instead, he ruled out such options from the beginning. It wouldn't be taking a tough stance. Wouldn't taking a tough stance have worried markets? Probably not. In fact, if I were an investor, I would be reassured, not dismayed, by a demonstration that the president is willing and able to stand up to blackmail on the part of right-wing extremists. Instead, he has chosen to demonstrate the opposite.
German paper says what America is currently exhibiting is the worst kind of absurd theatrics, and the whole world is being held hostage. Most importantly, the Republicans have turned a dispute over a technicality into a religious war, which no longer has any relation to a reasonable dispute between the elected government and the opposition. The French newspaper said the American politicians, supposed to lead the most powerful nation in the world, are becoming a laughingstock. But, I mean, even around the world, they get that it's the Republicans, not all of us. Other nation, you know, and this article ends by saying other nations won't forget how some members of Congress were so careless to allow the international economy to fall into another financial disaster in order to score a few political points. And that's, you know, and that's what, you know, Eric Mulder and I were saying drives me crazy about the coverage. And then it just becomes like, oh, the Tea Party wins on this one.
Yeah.
It's like, what? And so what? And so America loses? I mean, it's just, okay. Let's go to Cindy in New York. Hey, Cindy, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
Yes, could I please be the official person who notices what others are missing?
We needed one, yes. Desperately.
Thank God for you.
Thank you. This is what you're all missing. In the beginning, he should have had a jobs commission, not a deficit commission. Mm-hmm. If he had a jobs commission, me, who voted for the man and loved the man, would be supporting him and saying, listen, he tried to create jobs through this commission. What did he do? He did a deficit commission. So therefore, he has allowed every single crisis to begin.
All right, hang on. Hold that thought. We'll come back over the break. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You face failure on a daily basis. How do you cope?
I drink.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. The president.
I want to announce that the leaders of both parties in both chambers have reached an agreement that will reduce the deficit and avoid default.
Yeah, well. Could I read a little bit more from Paul Krugman?
Yes, it seems to make you feel better. Okay, go ahead.
Although we're getting dangerously into Mark Levin territory here.
Make no mistake about it. What, Mark Levin?
Yeah, he reads. He does nothing but read articles.
Okay, yes.
So, yeah.
Make no mistake about it. What we're witnessing here is a catastrophe on multiple levels. It is, of course, a political catastrophe for Democrats, who just a few weeks ago seemed to have Republicans on the run over their plan to dismantle Medicare. Now Mr. Obama has thrown all that away. And the damage isn't over. There will be more choke points where Republicans can threaten to create a crisis unless the president surrenders, and they can now act with a confident expectation that he
will. All right. Well, let me just say, as a happy, clappy liberal, despite my numbness this morning, you know, Jim, we'll see. I mean, I not that Paul Krugman isn't, you know, brilliant, but what I'm saying is we'll see politically. Well, yeah. I look at polls and go 70-something percent of the American people agree with us. You know, we do still have elections. There is a chance to throw these people 70% out.
70% of Americans don't show up at
But I mean, him saying the president's lost already politically, I don't know. I don't know yet. You know, it's
David Bender seems to think that the president's lost and that the Tea Party will gain and, you know, will gain the Senate, too.
He didn't say the Tea Party. He said
the Republicans.
And the
Republicans are ruled by the Tea Party. Yep. So that's a de facto Tea Party. I'm moving
to France with him, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just kidding.
But I'm just saying.
I'm not going anywhere.
Just saying you can't be all happy clappy because there are political consequences.
Cordell in Kentucky. I can be whatever I want.
Well.
Cordell in Kentucky.
With booze,
Hello,
all things
Jesse.
Are possible.
Good morning, everybody. It's your official screenwriter.
Hello, darling.
Well, guys, I have to take issue with people who are calling in saying that they're no longer going to be voting for the president. Let me remind everybody out there that 14 million of you sane complainers stayed home in November 2010. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yep.
We got the Tea Party in Washington. That's what happened.
Yep.
I want to remind everybody that we've got to keep our eyes on the prize.
I agree. I mean, this is what you voted for. If that's what you thought, you know.
We got three goals we got to accomplish next year in 2012, if I could just say this real quick. One, we got to flip the Congress back to Democratic hands. That's the most important thing we've got to do. Two, we got to keep the Senate. In fact, I would go so far as to say we need to add more progressive people in the Senate. Let's give the president what he needs in order to get stuff
done.
Good luck
with that.
Well, you know what? But see, Bob, you know, but Cordell, you're right. Politics are cyclical. And, you know, you just believe me. How many big media storylines ended up being wrong? You know, it's like, okay, the Tea Party was like this big story. Let's see what happens in the next cycle. It's like, I'm not willing to just throw in the towel.
Exactly. And I've got...
This should piss us off enough that, you know, that it does motivate people.
Amen, sister. And I got one more point, and I got a Joe Walsh joke for you guys.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Third point, and this is, to me, this is the most important. Everybody needs to keep this in mind when we go to vote next year. We may have one, maybe two Supreme Court vacancies open in the next term. So it's very important that President Obama stays in office so that we can get some good left.
Well, that's right. Cordell, by the time this election rolls out, really? Are we just going to go, yeah, President Bachman and more Tea Party? Ah, fine. You know, I mean, you can't. I mean, it's we still got a country that I'm just kidding, because I can't move to France. I can't afford it. Let's go to... if I had an option, trust me, I would take it. Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, to hit on Cordell's last point, the House passed hundreds of bills before 2010, and they were all blocked by the Senate. Talking Points memo, Christina Bellantoni, September 24th, before the elections, 2010, September 10th, Obama spoke in Cleveland detailing his positions on the tax cut. So September 10th, that was 8th. September 10th, he held a press conference to say so. September 22nd, Pelosi agreed. As one in a series of conversations, as it appeared, Reid was concerned about vulnerable Democrats. He asked them to vote for those tax cuts before the elections, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
That's why the GOP was able to use those elections after 2010 to get those tax cuts after 2010. Okay, the president could talk till he's blue in the face. He is part of one part of a three-branch government. Two of those branches are run by the corporation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Yep. No, I...
That's it.
Yeah, they are good. See, everybody needs to get out of their system this morning. What time is the vote, by the by?
Oh, they're later on this afternoon, but there's no set time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course not, because the boner has a giant unwieldy caucus.
Well, it could be even put off to tomorrow. Who knows? I mean, you know, it could be put off to tomorrow because he doesn't have all the votes. He needs to wrangle all the votes and whip them into shape.
I mean, obviously they're saying one of the few things we got is that we're not going to have to do this again in 6 months. The president
it will allow us to avoid default and end the crisis that Washington imposed on the rest of America. It ensures also that we will not face this same kind of crisis again in 6 months or 8 months or 12 months.
So it does put it off until 2013.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so at least that's one thing that he won on.
Yeah. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie. I just said all these pink tutu Democrats need to, like I said, get off the cross. Somebody else needs the wood.
And they need to stop being noodlebacks.
There you go. First of all, you got to bring some to get some. Now, that's the way the streets are.
Can I just tell you how much I love that saying, the get down off the cross, someone needs the wood? I love that.
Okay.
I can't hear it enough.
And the thing is, he has no back. We all were sitting up here talking about what he could have, would have, should have done, you know, and then, you know, his plan is this. Now, let me tell you something. I've been black 50 years, okay? The best thing.
So you're good at it now.
Right, I'm very good.
Yeah, good job.
I want people to understand, okay, let's look at it like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, okay?
Mm-hmm.
President Obama can't be Malcolm X.
Yeah.
No, Malcolm was about fighting for your rights, doing the right thing, hey, hit them back, you know, do what you got to do. That people, and that's just look. I'm just looking at white people in general who are the ones in power right now. When you front somebody right off and you black, it's over. And see, Obama been black almost 50 years like me,
yeah,
too, like
yeah.
By Saturday. Okay, you can't do that. When we do that, it seems it's being so aggressive, you get nothing done. Now, when you look at Martin Luther King, okay, back
mm-hmm.
in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
with black folks, what did he do? He appealed to the moral, though sometimes I, as a black person, I couldn't stand to see what was going on. But that had to be the tactic they used
yeah.
at the time, because if they had, if black people had just went straight back, we
yeah.
would have got massacred.
Yeah. But I mean, look, for every Jim Ward or Paul Krugman there is out there, you know, David Bender said to me on the phone yesterday, this country doesn't deserve Barack Obama. I mean, I'm sorry, you can hop on the Obama bashing bandwagon if you want.
If you want.
Right.
But he's using the tactic that if you show the moral corruption where you see it's so bad, eventually people come around. And see, that's what he's doing. If people are smart and look at it, instead of, yeah, we want to fight back right now, of course. I mean, it's only the human thing, and
yeah.
it is the right thing.
Yeah, but and if you're going to choose, right, if you're going to choose to be pissed off, I'm going to choose the Tea Party, not the president, you know? I mean, it's
that's right. And the thing is, after you see that things are so bad, what's going to happen in the next election? People's butt would have been kicked
yeah.
so bad by
yeah.
then, they're going to turn around and do what they got to do. If he fights back too much right now, oh, this black man is, oh, my God, he's gangster.
Mm.
What is going on?
Fox News has angry black man footage forever.
There you go.
All right.
There
Tony,
go.
I feel
so
better this morning.
So
you know why? Because I love you. And I know that you are here in my hometown.
Yes, I am.
All right, I got a new drinking buddy.
Okay.
All right.
We got to meet one day.
Okay. All right. Bye, Tony. Bye.
Maybe,
I love her.
Maybe you can bend an elbow together at the L.A.
Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. Okay. I just love her. Judy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Judy.
Hey, I'm just calling about all the Obama complainers, too. I'm so sick of it. You know, Republicans don't eat their own like that
yeah.
and turn on the person they elected. Democratic voters need to look in the mirror and say, what am I going to do to make sure this president has the support in Congress and in the Senate to get done what we wanted him
yeah.
to do when he came
yeah,
in?
Yeah, but that 70% of the American people want. I mean, I'm just saying I don't rule out a sea change back the other way in the next election cycle. I mean, I think that's it's always happened in politics, you know, at least in my lifetime.
Yes, and we need need to work towards that. If we give up, the most important thing I want to tell people is if you give up, then they win.
Yeah.
Don't you get that? If you don't come out to vote, that's what happened in 2010.
That's right.
You know, we need more Democrats in Congress and more in the Senate or the House and the Senate, not for our people to just, our voters to, you know, turn around and say, oh, well, you know.
I didn't get what I wanted,
so I'm going home.
It's not fast enough. It's not enough. He didn't do it the right way. And I believe me, this is what we talk about every day that I'm sick of, too. And that's absolutely what happened is, you know, we didn't get him enough backup. And now it's like, you know, now it's more Obama bashing. And I think he still has gotten an amazing amount done against intransigence I've never seen. I don't think my dad would even recognize not just the Republican Party, just politics today, just Washington. I mean,
exactly. And nobody focuses on what we've accomplished. What is wrong with people? Don't ask, don't tell. People openly serving in the military. You know, I worked on the health care reform for a long time, and I want a public option too. But let me tell you, I met people whose family members had died because they had no access to health care, and those people will get something out of this Affordable Health Care Act. So everyone is so selfish in that I didn't get what I wanted. Maybe you ought to look at the needs of people around you and devote yourself to volunteering, to taking care of others, instead of complaining about the president.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Judy.
Sorry, I'm angry.
No, you made me feel better.
A lot of people are angry this morning.
Well, fine. I've given them a chance to talk, too.
On both sides.
I let Jim go all Mark Levin. Reading article after article bashing the president.
Stephanie Miller, sarcastic.
Are you going to read Maureen Dowd next time?
She's been up and coming for the past 20 years. I hate people who are sarcastic.
At least Jim has a nice voice.
Yeah.
Listen to Mark Levin read an article for 3 hours. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name.
They call me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the. I just gave myself whiplash.
Are you okay?
Singing with the Ting Tings. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Do you hike to this song?
Hmm?
Do you hike to this song? I mean, do you do whatever you do?
I don't know how to operate a nano yet. All right, you have to show me again how to get the songs in it. I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is the world's gone crazy. Now this is a fight. Intoxicated brothers accused of attacking a pilot at Miami Airport. I'm just telling you, the world's gone mad this weekend.
Ooh.
A man punched an American Airlines pilot who kicked him off a flight from Miami, and he and his brother then attacked the pilot again before bystanders tackled the brothers in the terminal.
Wow.
Now, you know, you thought that guy that on the food cart was the worst plane story. When the plane taxied away from the gate, a flight attendant noticed the man was sleeping and had not buckled his seatbelt. She tried to wake him, but she told police that he was unresponsive, appeared to be intoxicated on drugs.
Oh, dear.
The pilot and the flight attendant then woke him up and told him to get off the plane. He was barely compliant at that point. He was exhibiting symptoms of intoxication. The brothers walked off the plane, but then one of them returned, punched the pilot in the face, hit the flight attendant in the shoulder when she tried to intervene. Oh. Then they attacked the pilot again in the jet bridge and chased him through the terminal.
Chased the pilot? Oh, God.
I love the airline pilot. Spokesman said, I think it's fair to say both these gentlemen will not be flying with us again.
No.
Thank you for flying the friendly flag. Okay, let's go to Pat in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Steph.
Yeah, yes.
I am so frustrated with these Democrats.
Yeah.
Obama ran for president. He did not show that he was a mean, angry black man. Like that lady said, she's 50. I'm 60. I'll be 65 in November. He did not run as an angry black man. And for the Democrats to get on the television and on the radio and just complain and complain about what he's doing, what he hasn't done, instead of getting on the radio and television talking about what he has accomplished. They follow the what Fox said and the Republicans and the Tea Party and all these other people said. Instead of getting on TV stating what the man has accomplished, I just finished hearing somebody on TV, MSNBC, Major Garrett, giving winners and losers. The winner of this deal is Bill Clinton, because three of his former cabinet members are helping Obama get this deal done. He don't get credit for nothing. He didn't get credit for killing Bin Laden. It was Bush.
Yeah.
Bush got credit for it.
Yeah.
He didn't get credit for this. It's Bill Clinton. I saw on TV where somebody said something about what has he done about AIDS. I mean, come on, he's already done that. What is Congress's job? Isn't Congress's job to write laws and get bills passed, not the president? He tells them what he needs, and they need to go do their job. And that's why when he said he was going to change it, he wants them to do their job. They need to be the ones standing up to the Tea Parties and all these Republicans instead of everybody bashing him.
Yep,
if I was him, I would tell the United States to take the United States, I would take my wife, my two children, and myself, and live off, as what that man said, live off the government's tip. I would live off the government's tip the rest of my life.
Yep.
Because he's going to do God's
will. Right,
all
now. Right, Pat. All right. It's me and my angry black women friends this morning. That's who it is against Jim.
And Paul Krugman.
Kick your ass. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Krugman's a right winger. That's why he hates Obama.
Okay. This from the Washington Post. A debt mess created by Republicans who should know better. John Boehner and Harry Reid started the week with plans that were within shouting distance of each other. It's easy to envision a compromise between them. I really don't think Boehner reworked the bill just for personal self-preservation, as some have argued. I think he did it for the perceived self-interest, not of the crazies, but of the bulk of the GOP conference. They're the ones who desperately want as many things as possible to vote for that can show their loyalty to the conservative cause, because they know eventually they'll have to vote for the deal. They're terrified of being cast as sellouts to the revolution. The truth is, if you constantly act as crazy as Michelle Bachmann and Steve King and Louis Gohmert, there's really not any difference between you and them, even if you really know better. The people who are most responsible for damaging the nation, bringing it to the brink of even worse, are precisely the Republicans who do know better, in and out of Congress, who aren't stepping up and demanding a reasonable solution. The Tea Party has taken that, not just the whole country, their party hostage. And let's see what even happens today.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to 4 divided by 7. Michael in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I want to take issue with Judy. I call for a different reason, but it's related. She is saying, why should we whine about Obama if we don't like what happened? If you sent your car to a mechanic to fix the engine, you wouldn't expect him to turn it back to you and find that all four wheels are taken off and the spare is missing. That's what would happen. If the car is our economy, basically, he's compromised the whole system. You know, if your mechanic did that to you, what time is it? It's time to get a new mechanic. So there's no need to complain. We just need a new president. There's still time for President Obama to sign up for the GOP primaries in Iowa. Mm.
Okay. All right. You lose me on car analogies because I don't have a girl.
Don't drive like my brother.
But you are a lesbian.
What?
So
all I know is there's a master cylinder. That's all I know. I don't.
So you're not the right kind of lesbian.
I don't. No.
Okay.
So would there be a mistress cylinder on your
car? Something happens to your car, like you raise the hood,
yeah,
and just look at it. I wouldn't know if there was a nuclear warhead strapped on there. I'm just like, well, that doesn't look good.
You know
how would I? What are you looking for?
Do you know how to check your oil?
No.
Really?
I don't even know what that is. I know how to call people that do, though. Tom in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tom.
Yes, Stephanie, I want to ask, why does the president keep giving cover to the Republicans at the bully pulpit? He always says it's both parties. It's not both parties. If you're going to want to call Republicans out, if you don't want to call the Republicans out, then don't say anything at all. But quit throwing us under the bus. The average person who is not paying attention to politics just hears Obama say constantly, it's both parties. So then all of a sudden it gives them cover whenever it is that
you know, they're the unreasonable party, but yet he gives them cover. He gives them the
right. Well, says Washington does this.
Yeah, but well, he said plenty of things. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's yeah. He talked plenty of smack last week about what the Republicans were doing, but that's not the point. I mean, I think that's the problem. He actually cares about the country. He actually cares about, you know, averting a crisis, and they don't. And that's, you know, I don't know. So anyway, all right. We have Mondays with McClurg.
I know, right?
That'll cheer us up. She's bubbly. Everything will be better with a little effervescence. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, you know that chair dancing on Ustream. You know it by now. It's Monday.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, we all do.
Oh, boy.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, slugs, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
I'm not really sure you can say that, and yet we do. Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning.
She's such a little potty mouth, and yet she's bubbly. Good morning. Now, you have a song about the debt crisis?
Yes.
Okay.
It's upside down day, it's upside down day. And I'm very, very sad, it's upside down day. I'm gonna scream and shout and push my lip right out. It's upside down day today.
Wow. Yay! Are you having a nervous breakdown?
That's Lily.
Are you okay? That's Lily.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think we're all losing it, aren't we, in this country? Have you been watching the debt stuff?
Now you made her cry.
Oh, dear.
Or the Tea Party made her cry.
Oh, dear.
Tea Party, crazy people. Why do you do that?
She's turned into gibberish. She's getting infantile paralysis. What's happening? All right. Harry Reid, after the agreement.
Today I'm relieved to say that leaders from both parties have come together for the sake of our economy to reach a historic bipartisan compromise that ends this dangerous standoff.
For now.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
and this dangerous standoff is about to explode.
I'm happy with the point that we've given up the store. There is no more store.
There's no more store.
You know, Nancy Pelosi, they're saying, not pushing the issue publicly, but privately, she clearly supports President Obama using the 14th Amendment. And, you know, we're saying, who knows? We still may have to. There's a lot of it. I don't even understand. The Tea Party leader said this is a total victory for liberals.
What?
Because they haven't yet completely destroyed the government.
Yes. Apparently, we still have a government of some kind. Apparently, there's still people at the FAA telling planes where to land.
Whatever.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not between midnight and 4.
No. Well, nobody should be landing then anyway.
Dark. You know, so you don't need
to. It's dark. Figure it out.
You don't need to know where you're going in the dark.
Let's turn off the runway lights.
Get me. Wing it.
John in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Steph, how you doing?
Good, honey.
All right. Hey, listen, I did want to say that I think Johnny Depp got credit for killing the Somali pirates, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, you know what, John, whoever that last caller was, I have to say I agree with. I don't know what it is. It just seems like everything this president does do, you know, correctly, it's just like, all right, whatever. You know, next. He doesn't get the credit, you know.
That's correct, Stephanie. And, you know, and what happens is they don't realize he's only one man. And you've got billionaires not only putting money toward advertisement, they're out there putting money toward guys in, hypothetical think tanks, you know, the fancy boardrooms with nice coffee, you know, to sit and think about how to, you know, take us out of where we're at. And, I mean, if you sit down, and I was thinking about this before, if everybody in this country, all the voters and the public, just sat down one evening and said, I am going to write out the pros and cons. I'm going to write out everything Republicans have done, everything Democrats have on their agenda. If you go through and union bashing, or if you just want to say, you know, breaking down the unions, getting rid of minimum wage, you know, just list it all. List it all down, and then go to the Democrats and do the same thing.
By the way,
you'll find the word help in there, Steph. Sorry to interject. You'll find the word help in there more often than you will on the Republican side by a tremendous amount. And the Democrats aren't all about just handouts at all. And people know better than that.
Yeah.
And these kids need to get off their cell phones and their technology and start paying attention and seeing what's happening, because they're trying to
listen to you, you crabby old man. Now, but John, you know what? Speaking of the union stuff, I hope that, you know, this only pisses people off more in Wisconsin. They're trying to burn down the union, you know, office behind the recall. I mean, it's just talk about, like, people that don't play by the rules.
We're
you know?
Getting spanked down the road, Stephanie, okay? We're getting one paddle at a time. My grandfather had a paddle when I was a kid, you know, and he was rhythm guitar for Bob Wills, so he's a pretty tough
Ooh,
little kid.
Wow.
But let me tell you what, you got the joke there, but he really was.
You are like seconds from the Onion Belt story, aren't you?
Right, so he would paddle down the road, right?
Yeah.
Well, we need to turn around and say, okay, we realize this is a nice fight. We need to get into it now before they just take us apart feather by feather until we're done. I mean, it's like we're a bunch of chickens out on the free-range farm voting for Colonel Sanders. As they say.
All right, that's too many farm analogies for me now.
It was a lot of analogies, wasn't it?
Lost in there somewhere.
He got ready. He got ready this morning. He was going at it.
We can't bust heads like we used to.
All right.
But we have our ways.
All right. Okay.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Oh, boy.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Yes.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
Yeah, see,
so
that's who I've become. I tell stories about my cobbler and my watch fixer. Edie,
I drove my SUV over to Shelbyville, which is what they called Hollywood in those days.
In those days. Yeah, I'm seconds from just saving my Werther's candies for later. Yeah, I just, you know. All right, Drew in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Edie. Hello, Drew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You can put me down as the one guy in agreement with Jim Ward.
Okay.
So, but before I get to
sadly, there's more than one of you whiners.
But before I get to that, we Democrats need to be real careful. You got people out here with no jobs. We got to stop talking about what Obama has accomplished. Because thank God I have a job. But if I didn't have a job, I really wouldn't be trying to hear about how many things he's accomplished. I think the frustration.
Well, we can't point out the things that he's accomplished. I mean,
Steph, I'm just telling you from the way somebody's going to see it. If I'm walking around out here without a job, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear you tell me how is my job coming.
Right.
That's the way people
are. I hear you. No, I hear you.
If I have a family, but the frustration with Obama.
My point, I think my point is that she happened to bring up the Somali pirate crisis. I think somebody brought up Bin Laden. I'm just saying, can you imagine if those things had gone terribly awry in the wrong way? I mean, that would have been the story 24/7. The problem is, you know, they were spectacular successes, Edie, so it just is like, all right, well, next. You know, like it was nothing. All right, Mitch McLipless yesterday.
We hear the American people tonight. The United States of America will not, for the first time in our history, default on its obligations.
Okay.
Unless we get everything we want, the dog gets it.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
It was hard to tell.
You're a firm grasp for the obvious, son.
It's hard to tell when Mitch McConnell's on TV, like, what's happening, because he always looks startled.
Yeah.
So it's like, what does that mean? Are we going to default? Are we not? He always looks the same. Like, he's just startled to be there.
Well, it's his toothless smile that is really the funniest look.
Yeah.
And I just get entranced by that, and I can't hear a thing he's saying.
Well, we've called him Mitch McLipless and McChinless because we realize that it's basically he lacks both. Not to be unkind, it's just, what did we say, Chris? Everything below his nose is kind of not so
it's covered with
functional.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
there.
Like car wash things. All right. So the right-wing
hypocrites.
Would you like some fun facts, Amy, about the fiscal conservative Tea Party crazies that got us here?
Love to hear.
Hardliners and debt togs have debt problems of their own. Interesting. Here are the fun facts. Senator Mike Lee of Utah said his faction needs to push forward a balanced budget amendment and other measures in order to save our country from a Congress that for decades has been burying our children and our grandchildren, both born and unborn, under a mountain of debt. According to his recently released disclosure forms, though, Lee and others in his caucus has a significant personal debt of their own.
How did that happen?
He amassed at least $15,000 in credit card debt, had a $50,000 line of credit at a Utah bank as of late last year. Representative Tim Griffin of Arkansas had at least $15,000 of debt accumulated on American Express. He recently said he's a Tea Party guy. Washington had a spending addiction. Representative Kevin Yoder, freshman from Kansas, said in recent press release, Washington needs to cut up the credit cards. He has also amassed $15,000 in what's called a revolving charge account with Citigroup.
And then, of course, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Joe Walsh. Representative Joe Walsh, his ex-wife says he needs to pay. He's $117,000 behind in
child support. $117,000
yes.
mm-hmm. behind in child support.
Her attorney told CNN Walsh has not paid any child support since 2008. In an interview with CNN, Walsh admitted he's struggled financially and lost a home. Look, he said, I've had financial troubles. I've talked about them too. This is where the real America is. You see? So he's just being
he's not a real giant American.
Fat hypocrite. He's just
a real American.
A real guy. Okay, let's. Laura in New Mexico wants to agree with Jim. Jim, it's for you.
I agree with Jim. Only I would go a little bit further. I think there was a date set where the Republicans could play around with this and try and get as much as they possibly could. And then once that was done, the deal was, okay, if you don't make a deal, you're going to start losing limbs and kids, and that's it. Because they play for big money.
Yeah.
And it was done. Done and over.
All right. Thanks for bringing the harsh and all our buzz. It was already harshed by the moment we walked in. All right. Maybe AD will sing again. 17 minutes after the hour, we will update you. We'll find out all the latest on when the big vote is on the debt ceiling as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour in the midst of Mondays with McClure. Don't forget, kids, sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Going to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico this Saturday. Can't wait. Aisha Tyler joins the tour in August. We're very, very excited. And Detroit coming up on August 20th. All right. Edie McClurg is currently taping her headphones with scotch tape because that's the kind of high-end operation we run around here.
I can't get away.
In case you're wondering on Ustream,
Rush Limbaugh sure has gold plated.
Yeah, he has gold plated ones. Oh, boy. Yeah, President on CNN said, let's see, he has ideas from Leah's first car, including a boy ejector. Can we get that in Congress, Kenny? Just like, can you get ejector seats where all the Tea Party people sit? Just like some sort of catapult that just where they get to vote today, they just.
Boing.
Boing. Thank you. All right, Mark. Sorry, Joe Walsh. Patrick in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how is everyone?
Good, go ahead.
I just have to say I'm really perplexed by this, I feel this kind of easing of blame on Obama. I mean, I guess this is the way I have to look at this. Obama could be 100% progressive in his beliefs. But the fact of the matter is, he's a lousy leader. He can't communicate. And, like...
Back up. He can't communicate about what?
He can't... He, I he can do beyond the speeches. Mm-hmm. He has failed. He has failed the message. He failed the message. Health care. He doesn't use the bully pulpit.
I don't agree with you. I just don't.
Okay, well, communication is also beyond just speaking. Let's look at the fact. What does it send when he comes up with these speeches that he's been doing throughout this debt ceiling debate?
Right.
And he ends up saying that there's going to have to be revenue increases. And then a week or so later,
well, there are going to be.
Do the opposite.
There are going to be. The Bush tax cuts are going to expire. Every expert agrees with that.
Okay.
I get it.
I'm sorry. Do you really believe? Then the problem is it's the way that they fight and the way that what we have seen since.
Because he fights
election.
Fair and they don't. That's the problem. I mean, I get people's frustration, but it's like, you know, even last week, remember when we went to his speech live? Didn't he say, I mean, Edie, didn't you watch him and go, he's making all the right points. He was absolutely correct. It's like, oh, he didn't say it right. Well, I'm just telling you, I don't think we've had a president up against anything like this Tea Party, at least not in my memory. Here's my solution. Let's just borrow some money from Apple, who has more cash on hand than the United States government.
That's true.
Is that incredible? They have Apple has $76.4 billion in reserve. Our Treasury Department has $73.7 billion.
I guess there's not an app for that.
It's not. That's incredible.
Why don't we elect Steve Jobs?
Yeah. Just
he seems to know
pay
how
for
to...
it out of pocket.
Yeah.
Something. All right. Jessica in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jess.
Hi. I'm the official toothmaker. I would like to remind you.
The official, what's that? I forget.
Toothmaker?
Toothmaker. Oh, that's right.
And I would just like to remind everyone that, again, it goes back to you can win anything if you cheat, because they framed the whole debate so he couldn't win anyhow. Because if he didn't get anything done, if they couldn't come up with a compromise, the whole thing was going to be that he couldn't get them to work together, so why reelect him anyhow? And otherwise, he would have had to do the 14th Amendment thing, which they wanted him to do so they could impeach him. So I think he really did the best that he could do with what he had.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, think about that. Then we're in the middle of a constitutional and impeachment crisis.
But they
wanted again
to impeach him for any reason at all. So that,
right.
Here's
the good thing, Jessica in Chicago, and also great things from Chicago, Jan Schakowsky. There is absolutely no excuse for this reckless, unpatriotic behavior on the part of the Republicans. Yay! Yay!
Yay.
Edie, that was the only thing that made me happy, was the plucky women, plucky Democratic women this weekend. Nancy Pelosi going, I will not yield to you! I will not yield to you! I just like it when they say that.
Of course, those words mean a lot more heft when she was Speaker of the House.
I know.
Yeah. Now she doesn't.
I know. I just like pluckiness, that's all. Let's go. Look, it's Jan up in Amherst, up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hey, Jan.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
You know, I don't know why you guys just don't accept victory and move on. And let me tell you why it's a victory for you. You've got free reign right now. You can spend $2.1 trillion because apparently we can just keep spending and spending. And what's happened is if we take the cuts, that's over 10 years. A succeeding Congress can nullify these things and say, yeah, you're not going to make these cuts. We're just going to have the spending, but we're not going to do the cuts. And I don't know what the left doesn't understand about starting with a very large number, which is the Obama budgets. He's increased the budget 80%. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, so I just want to make sure he's increased it. So now
no.
We're starting from
the large bulk of this deficit is George Bush's wars that were not paid for and his tax cuts for the rich.
Please, Steph, don't try bringing up George Bush, okay?
I know. It's so impolite. It's so impolite of me to point out who
How come it's been almost 3 years that he's been a president and George Bush was blamed for 9/11?
Yeah, stop living in the past, for God's sakes. At least he got the guy behind 9/11. Oh, no, he didn't. 29 minutes after the hour, right back. More Mondays with the Clerk on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I believe you were about to ask me to choose a cocktail. Fortunately, thanks to computer savvy alcoholics, there's an app for that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Mark in Indiana says Joe Walsh owes his friend money, too. Hi, Mark. How are you?
This guy is pathetic, and people just don't, they just don't know the tip of the iceberg. He owes a friend of mine who used to be his campaign manager, and unfortunately, my friend is a big teabagger. He owes him $30,000.
Oh, yikes. I guess his kids are going to have to get in line.
That's why it bugs me, because, you know, this guy could use the money. And taken away from his kids. One of his kids has a medical problem, and again, my friend's a teabagger, and his kid has a medical problem. I don't understand why he's against health care, but this guy owes so many people so much.
Yeah, I mean, they're all a bunch of hypocrites.
Responsibility there.
Yeah, exactly. So he can lecture the president. All right, Senator Harry Reid over the weekend.
We don't have time for more delaying tactics.
Ooh, that was almost hysterical for him, Jim.
We don't have time for more delaying tactics. So I'm going to start stopping the delaying tactics.
Make me scream like this.
Probably next month.
Or stop the clock.
I'm glad to see this move toward cooperation and compromise. I hope it bears fruit.
No.
That's
a bit
for something.
Compromise in Republican speak means surrender.
Yeah.
That's
shriveled fruit.
Yes, we have some shriveled fruit. Right.
I'm also confident that reasonable people from both parties
should
be able to reach an agreement.
Where are they? Yeah. If you had reasonable people in your party,
I'm looking. I'm not finding.
I don't know. Senator Mitch McConnell.
I'm confident and optimistic that we're going to get an agreement
and I'll get some
in the very near future.
Mm-hmm. In the very near future, I will have some more lettuce in my terrarium.
Oh, dear God, the boner.
In spite of our differences, I think we're dealing with reasonable, responsible people who want this crisis to end as quickly as possible, and I'm confident that we will.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, in private, he's just banging up like Jack Daniels. These are a bunch of crazy bastards.
They got little propellers on their beanies.
Banging Jack Daniels?
What?
He's throwing
it
back.
Throw it back.
Pounding and banging.
Pounding, banging, something.
They're very different.
Listen.
Okay, we don't know our boozy references. Maybe. Sorry.
Maybe there's a Jackie Daniels he's banging. We don't know.
Something. About it, look for the girl with the orange hands.
What?
I don't know what I meant by that. I don't know if you gave him a hand, whether your hands would be orange. It would just seem like it. All right. The good news is Fox News still may blow up, which is very exciting. Lawyers at the New York Post, lawyers tell New York Post staff to keep all phone hacking documents. The staff of the New York Post have been instructed by company lawyers to save any documents that might relate to phone hacking and bribery.
Do you think they've been phone hacking and bribing people for?
Yes. Yeah. The directive is a clear sign that News Corp expects that two criminal investigations underway in America will cover Murdoch's U.S. operations as well as his British operations.
Interesting.
All right. By the by, you know, I was talking about this awful EDD union offices behind the recalls. Oddly, the suspicious fire.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, fire destroyed them.
Just before that they were going to...
Yeah. Weird. Crazy. I'm sure nothing nothing awry there.
Accidents
what
happen.
A coincidence. Mm-hmm. Yes, really.
Matt Damon, by the way, supports the recall campaign against Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Maybe he'll give a little cash to rebuild the offices. Oh, a little more celebrity stuff. Donald Trump. Oh, this is huge, Jim. Huge.
Huge.
He's being sued in New York by a firm that arranged a clothing licensing deal and says he cut off payments. Oh, he's another one of those fiscal conservative teabagger guys that didn't pay somebody.
Says, I'm going to give you something, and then he doesn't? That's a liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yes, indeed.
At least I'm a huge liar. Huge.
Yes, he is. Mark in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
I just wanted to offer up this idea of the Democratic supporters, especially the liberal and progressive wing of us, making this really about the key issues and not about people as much as possible. I mean, yeah, we still have to have elections and debate people, but if we can really just identify the key issues, then we can move forward in a more productive way. And I want to speak up about one of the ways we could have put the Republicans on their heels, which was to bring the full force of the Justice Department against the war criminals when Obama came into office. Yep. There's still a chance to do that with the coming election and really show America that they're dealing with really sick, murderous people who've gone around the world killing people. And that is the worst you can think of. That's why it's a crime against humanity in the international court.
Maybe they'll just piss Obama off and he'll just keep, you know what? Now I am going to prosecute the Bush administration. I don't know. Maybe a little late now. Just saying. Hey, there's a reality TV star. It's in Congress now. That's how we've gotten here. Sean Duffy, Republican of Wisconsin.
The American people
with the gentleman
are looking for real solutions.
Yeah, Sean only Duffy the reality Combs. Guy knows what the real solutions are.
Be careful, Sean Duffy Combs might bust a cap in your ass. Yeah.
Representative Scott Garrett, Republican of New Jersey.
Let it be clear, as God is my witness, we will not compromise on our principles.
Our principles are to drive this country right over the cliff. All right. There's a lot of hysterics, wasn't there? This weekend, let's skip to 13.
Wait a minute, was that, as God is my witness, yes. I'll never be hungry again. Well, there's a lot of people going hungry.
Yeah, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
Representative Sandra Levin of Michigan. Levin.
This is a disgraceful moment, Mr. Dreyer. It is a disgraceful moment.
Oh, the whole thing was a disgrace, in my opinion. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, good morning, you all. You know, I've listened to everyone all morning, and I just want to say this was eminently predictable. I'm more sad. I'm not angry because of two different things, so please give me a moment.
All right.
One is this was, as a parenting specialist, really, this is how parents come to me. They've given in to their toddlers and, you know, over and over again, and they won't go to sleep. And they said, but I read an extra book, and I gave them the extra cup of water, and they promised me tomorrow night they would do better. And then they have another tantrum and another tantrum, and the parents eventually give in. Well, the Tea Party has the emotional capacity of toddlers, and they've been tantruming every single time, and what Obama has done is ultimately he does cave. And it is really hard to retrain kids once they know they can get to the parents because they are really strong. They'll hold their breath till they pass out in some cases. So, you know, it's really, that's what makes me sad, is that there are other negotiating strands. You don't have to get to this point, which is what I tell parents. And that being said, I find myself agreeing with Jan today. So my head is now spinning round and round, and I think I need to be exercised because the fact is all that matters is what happens now. If now means we raise the debt limit to 2013, if now means, you know, no cuts at all, everything else they talk about, even this blatantly unconstitutional super Congress, is all moot and arguments for another day. It doesn't matter what they promise down the road. Mm-hmm. All that we need to worry about is now. So I'm not angry at our president. I just wish, you know, like the book that just came out, Go the F to Sleep, I wish he was a little more Samuel L. Jackson and just said, I'm not tantruming it. No more tantrums, guys. I am going to retrain myself to deal with you guys the way you are, not the way I wish you were.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you for my diatribe.
All right.
Today.
You're Morgan, very good. Yes.
More Ving Rhames.
Sure. How does that work constitutionally, Jim? If they were just to have a tantrum until they passed out, could we just vote without them? If they just all like, okay, all right, fine.
Probably.
Just hold your breath.
I don't see why not.
Hold your breath. Okay, now the adults are going to vote. Pea eaters, everybody, here we go. Shano in Florida. It's our Shano.
Hey, he moved to Florida.
Yay. Hi, Shano.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
I'm not calling in about the distance. I don't know anything about that. I've been in the car for 3 days driving from New York to Florida, so I have to change my name now. Now, you know that Danielle and I met through the Stephanie Miller Live blog.
Listen, it's a magical place, the Stephanie Miller Live blog.
It is. Well, actually, Ustream is even more masculine.
Yes.
But,
do you mean I could meet someone on
yes.
the line?
Yes. Someone line? That's watching you right now is probably touching himself.
Oh.
Oh, great.
Is it? Listen, you know, it passes for romance around here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we met you guys, and we thought, and we're now shacking up down in South Florida, so we thought we'd call in from the road and thank you all so much for introducing us to the Steffi Mueller show.
Aw, yay. Well, you know what? And we saw you at Sexy Liberal in Syracuse, and lots of people getting a lot of Sexy Liberal Strange at the shows.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, so pick up those tickets. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. It's magic. It is. All right. Give my love to Danielle.
I will. She gets love back. Thank
all right.
You.
There she goes. There they go. It's Jingle Man, Mr. and Mrs. Jingle. Pardon me?
Nothing. Never
okay.
Mind.
All right. Ryan in Michigan, it's for you, Edie. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I came to HBO, and it was showing a Pee-wee's Playhouse, circa, I believe, 1981, with Paul Rubens, the late Phil Hartman, who I loved, and one Edie McClure.
Mm-hmm. You know, every Monday,
doing,
somebody thinks of...
I on that. They're already. They're second questions from the audience.
Was that your character?
Yeah, I did Dear Abby, and I did...
I love Dear Abby.
Yeah, I was just Dear Abby. And I remember that we moved from Chicago to our offices on Last Day Live in Beverly Hills.
She was super special. And that was I don't even know what that is.
And one day, I was doing game shows with Charles Nelson Reilly, and he said...
Okay, every Monday...
He said, Abby is right across the hall, doing a show across the hall at CBS, and at lunchtime, I'm going to have her over, and you'll have to do her for her. I said, No.
People
don't
notoriously
do that, Charles.
don't find it as funny when you do it to their face.
So... He brought her into his little dressing room when we were sitting knee to knee, you know, across from each other, and he said, "Well, do it for her, do it for her." And I said, "Oh, I don't think so." And then she said, "No, dear, it's all right. Go ahead.
It's okay.
It's okay."
I know I don't sound funny.
I did that a little bit, and then she says, "Oh, dear, you got the essence and everything. It's just perfect.
That's super spectacular."
I love you.
All right.
Abby.
God bless you. You know what? Every Monday, Jim, there's some odd thing that Edie was in that somebody has seen.
I have an odd
this
career.
This is
something. I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Yes. Naked in the shower scene
naked
in Perry.
In the shower.
Yep. Naked. Edie McClurg.
Naked in the shower.
Noted hussy. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, Edie McClurg, Mondays with McClurg, continues apace. Why? I just have to read this one, Jim, because it's just a dissenting opinion. Let's see, what's his name? Bill. Okay. The problem with people like Jim is that they only criticize. The only solution they offer is, well, he should have done this and he should have done that. Unless you were involved in the negotiations between the White House and Congress, you have no clue, no freaking clue about what happened. You only view things with hindsight. It's always easy to second guess when you are responsible for the entire country. People like Jim can criticize and wash their hands of things. They bear no responsibility.
Talk to Paul Krugman.
He's not involved either in the government. They have no idea how to resolve the issue.
Yeah,
they are worthless do-nothings. Unless they can offer a tangible way of resolving the mess we're in, they need to keep quiet. Good day, sir.
I was quoting Paul Krugman, so take it to him.
Like,
yeah,
well,
he's just a big dope and a naysayer. Apparently.
I didn't say he's a big dope, but he's saying unless you're involved in negotiations, it's easy to go, you should have done this or that.
You're dismissing people as big dopes if they disagree with the president.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I know you are, but what am I? Listen, this has been a bad weekend for everybody. Forklift smashes $1 million worth of wine. What the hell? An unsteady forklift dropped a container full of... fine Australian wine worth more than $1 million.
$1 million.
Shout out Rod Laver. Very heavy wine, best suited to hand-to-hand combat.
And this is a reason number 6,543 why I don't have children, because this would be me. Two charged for leaving 10 children in a car outside Missouri bar.
Oh.
Well, you said they didn't want to bring the baby in the bar.
Yeah.
You have to give it to them.
That would be a bad influence on
Look
them.
At you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Yes, two people were arrested for leaving 10 children in the car.
10 children in the car?
For at least 2 hours while they were drinking. Age infant to 11. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
And the temperature outside, 99 degrees.
It's 99 degrees outside?
Uh-huh.
Oy.
Well, at least you get 99 Luftballons to play with.
They're fine now.
Man.
Oh,
so
boy.
That was popping out one a year.
Yes. Hello. Okay. Jim, I probably didn't need a study for this. Some nose job patients have mental health problems.
What did you say? Nose job
patients.
Patients have.
I left my heart in San Francisco and my original nose in Chicago, as we all know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A third of patients seeking cosmetic surgery.
That explains it all.
Have at least moderate symptoms of mental disorder that make them preoccupied with imagined or slight defects in appearance, according to a new. What? What are you looking at? So,
real or
body
imagined.
Dysmorphic disorder. I don't know anybody like that.
BDD?
Yes. No, that's erectile dysfunction
B-D-D.
You're thinking of.
No.
Oh, Chris, you saw my original nose on Evening at the Improv. It looked like I'm eating a banana from the side, for God's sakes. It was huge.
What did you do to your hair?
Didn't you have big, poofy, fluffy hair?
Yes, it was... It was like...
Yes, I looked like a Bay City roller. It really was just not good.
So you iron it every morning?
You know what I looked a lot like during this? It's actually Meryl Osmond.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, he was a pretty boy.
Did you have the tartan culottes like Bay City rollers?
Yikes, I did not need to know this. Alex Trebek was actually nude in his hotel room during that burglary we spoke out.
Oh!
He sleeps nude in hotel rooms. Yikes.
And then tore his Achilles tendon.
Yes, running after a woman that broke in and stole stuff in the middle of the night.
He tore his Achilles tendon?
Yes.
Running after the thief?
He did put underwears on first.
Okay, well.
Ooh, I'm going to have that nightmare tonight, Alex Trebek chasing me naked down the hallway, tearing his Achilles tendon.
I'm sorry, you must see my stuff in the form of a question.
Are you wearing underwear?
He says no.
No, you're not.
Frightening. I should say sorry.
Sorry.
Alex Trebek.
Sorry. Okay, Emily in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Em.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Why is everybody so crabby this morning?
I know it, right?
Shut up.
You shut up.
It's the upside down day. That's why.
Go ahead, Emily.
Don't people know that every hour things change, so just relax and it'll change again?
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, we might get to the 14th Amendment after all. Wouldn't that be something?
We might. Listen, from Wisconsin, not Madison, but near Madison.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, everybody should be watching what happens on Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
You know, with the recalls. Everybody needs to watch that, see what happens, and what happens here, I think, will start to happen other places as well.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. That's what I hope. We get mad and we get even. We don't, give up.
What do you think about the fire up there?
What fire?
The office burned down of the people
recall.
Behind the recalls.
Oh, did I haven't been paying attention?
Oh, for the love of God, Emily!
You live in Wisconsin.
I've been listening to you. I can't do both things at
Well,
once.
I've reported it several times, Emily. Ha!
Well, I've been busy having coffee.
All right, well, whatever.
Oh,
I'll be on the fainting couch. Good day.
I'll check into it.
All right, thank you. All right.
Good day to you, madam.
I've been on the fainting couch all morning. I'm in a state. Bob in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hello. We're dealing with new Confederates is what we're doing, and they are blatantly anti-American government of by and for the people, and they are a threat to the health, safety, and security of this country. And
thank you. You know who the front runner probably is going to be in the Republican side? A secessionist. Rick Perry.
Secessionist?
Secessionist. Excuse me. Secessionist. As Dear Abby would say.
That's very intransigent of him.
You know, the reason I'm concerned is I really believe that if somebody with a Barack Obama's ability to negotiate was president, instead of Lincoln, we'd still have slavery. He would have compromised. And that's the thing that's concerning.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Cool. Let's go back and find out, yes, what he would have done if he were Abraham Lincoln, for God's sake. Yes, we... No!
Well, no, he would have scheduled a negotiating session with Confederate generals to find out how we could... compromise on this.
My point, Edie, is seriously, he's a secessionist. Rick Perry, Dear Abby, would not be having any of it. All right, Jim in Chicago real quick before we go. Hi, Jim.
Morning, Stephanie. I have a beef with Edie. Edie mentioned that Steve Jobs, we should run him for president because Apple has more money in the bank than the U.S. government. Right now, Apple is leading the corporate tax holiday lobby to avoid paying $4 billion in taxes that they owe the United States. So Steve Jobs is a tax cheat. He shouldn't be running for president.
So there, Edie.
Okay.
So there.
I'm wrong.
Okay. All right, this is the crabbiest show ever.
It was.
Oof.
Shut up.
You shut up, pinhead. All right. You know what? I would thank you guys, but yeah, screw you. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll have more steam to blow off then.
Yeah.